Band's latest release, Fear of Infinity, is coming out in the next few weeks through Nuclear Blast. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept and ideas behind this release?
Well, it's really the completion of a process that started with Vast Ocean's Lacrimose. We really had no idea what this album was going to be when we started it, because we never performed it as a band. Like, literally, like, we rolled in the studio with sheet music and, you know, some vague MIDI files that I'd sent out to everybody, and everyone did their homework on their own. So it was definitely a revelation for all of us, including myself. So nonetheless, what it ended up becoming unintentionally was a concept album, actually. And you know, what this all relates back to the demise of a particular relationship. And the process, like I said, started with Vast Ocean's Lacrimose and continues on through Fear of Infinity. And what you're really hearing here is me living through the music, the stages of bereavement. And with Fear of Infinity, we're picking up from anger and evolving into depression, and finally there is acceptance at the very end of that.
I mean, you mentioned that, yeah, you guys pretty much went into the studio and figured it out there. So how did the writing process then work out? Did you had all the music, or somebody else had all the music, and it just, you know, just rested in?
Well, you know, the reality is, this music has been in existence for many years. So basically, most of this album was originally going to be included as part of Vast Ocean's Lacrimose, but because the song The Further Shore on this album grew to such an epic length that we decided that, you know, well, really the music decided itself that it needed that space. And so we adhered to that. So some of these songs also date back many years before that, like Vessel and To Wander the Void did on Vast Ocean's Lacrimose. And I'm speaking of Unplenitude and To Grieve Forever. These songs are from the early 90s. They were originally recorded during the Sorrow of the Angels album session, but never released. Well, I take that back. Unplenitude, in its original form, was released on the Chapter 1 2LP compilation in 2002 on Metal Supremacy Records, and also more recently this year on the Arcane Unearthed in a remastered form. And basically, you know, the only song on Fear of Infinity that's relatively recent is Finality, which is from 2008. So, basically, yeah, I mean, all of this music is coming from my personal experiences and my life and my emotions. So, you know, there are actually a couple exceptions I should mention. For the first time ever, Scott has stepped up, and he brought to the table a good portion of Saturn and Sacrifice, which I rearranged a little bit to accommodate the vocals, and then I wrote the latter half of the song, I guess. And Jason, our latest addition to the band, really did something special with the new arrangement of Unplenitude, and contributed this really amazing piano line that totally changed the landscape of the song. So yeah, I mean, there are definitely some of the other members involved, and you know, and everybody contributes in a sense to the final arrangements, but we just didn't have the luxury of time to really let everybody contribute to the extent that they wanted. I really had to keep us on track as far as you know, the blueprint of this album, so to speak, because there was a very real release date lingering that, you know, there was no way that we could miss or there'd be some very big problems. So there was a lot of pressure. And, you know, and when all is said and done, it did turn out to be exactly what it needed to be, which is a very real catharsis. And for this, I'm thankful.
Yeah, that it feels like the band is, like you mentioned, is playing catching up with all this older songs and older material you guys have. So what about for next releases? Do you guys still have something left, or you guys want to, you know, as a band, come up with something?
Well, I mean, honestly, I have another album ready to go, pretty much. And, you know, I mean, you got to consider that this is our 21st year. So there's a lot of material in the back catalog. We're almost caught up with that. But considering, like, the events that directly led to this deluge of material and recording and releases occurred in 2009, you know, there was a lot of music that came with that. And, you know, if we were to do another album immediately, then we would at least be caught up to 2010, you know. But I am very much looking forward to the prospect of, you know, working together in a real collaborative sense, because everybody in this band literally has, you know, a gift for songwriting in and of their own right, you know. And in the past, they were, you know, devoting a lot of those skills to the other bands, such as Brave or Twisted Tower Dire or something like this, or in the case of Rain and Jason Altura. So it's going to be a very exciting thing when we do truly collaborate. It's like, you know, there's just so much untapped potential within this band that even though we're a couple decades on, it's like there's still so much further that we can go. And I mean, hell, yesterday we were rehearsing for, you know, we're heading to Germany in a couple days for the Hammer of Doom 5 Festival. And these spontaneous improvs just come out of nowhere, too. You know, it's a very important aspect of what Wild Heaven West is and does now. And there were some just amazing, amazing spontaneous ideas that were, one was very Floyd-like or something, and I had to run back into the room and say, we have to remember this, you know what I mean, for the future use. And I mean it's like what a lot of people don't realize is that the caliber of musicians that I've surrounded myself with is so high that we can literally perform any kind of music. And just as an example, I mean, we went off on some 15-minute space funk jam, like, out of nowhere, you know, in the middle of, like, rehearsing all this material, and it's just very liberating, and it just goes to show, like, what a force, you know, these musicians are. And I'm really looking forward to the unknown. You know, I'm looking forward to see what happens when we're all writing together, because you know, it's I think it's going to be different, and that's cool, because every album of ours is different from everything else we've ever done, and this will absolutely ensure that we never retread the same ground and are always ever changing. You know, it's like we really are happy that people are finally realizing when they survey the whole discography that we do not fit into one particular genre, and it takes, you know, 50 adjectives to accurately describe what Wild Heaven West is, you know. So that I hope will continue, you know. I mean, it's something to really stand on our own and have a very distinct personality in music, you know. And, you know, this, the bands like that I feel are like this are the ones that I appreciate the most. And, you know, I'm talking about Voivod, Sirith Ungol, you know, Devin Townsend, Arcturus, the Rage for Order album from Queenstrike. I mean, these are things that are like nothing else. And, you know, to be counted amongst bands like this is absolutely the best feeling in the world, you know.
And do you feel that also this has had something to do with the fact that, you know, I mean, you guys have a not so much a big following here in North America when compared to like Europe?
Well, you know, I don't know necessarily how much of an impact the audience has on this as much as our pedigree. I mean, when you consider the sheer number of bands of different styles and genres that, you know, the members of Wild Heaven West have been involved with over the years, I mean, it's a huge range of metal and beyond. And so I think what's been happening lately, even though some of the material is older, you know, obviously when we approach it with this current lineup, there are things that evolve and change. But what's happening is, in the past, I always felt that I needed to keep the separate aspects of my musical personality, you know, separated. In other words, the straight-up classic metal, you know, that was, for me, that was Twisted Tower Dire, and for more of like this 80s neo-prog kind of thing, that's what we were doing with Brave. And you know, and I've certainly had my share of more extreme forms of music. You know, I've been involved with black metal and death metal bands in the past, and I mean, hell, I mean, look at Jim Hunter, you know. This guy is like the Steve DiGiorgio of our scene, you know. It's like, even right now, he's still in Twisted Tower Dire, and also the Yet So Far version of Revelation, October 31. He's playing with a band called Hellraiser with Charlie from Daylight Dive. You know, it's just insane. The, you know, the pedigree here, you know, it's like we're talking about musicians that have been involved with the underground and heavy music for all our lives. And what's happening is that I guess the integration of all these styles is taking place on our albums, you know. And I don't feel that I need to keep things separated, because all of these things are who I am, and it is who we are as a band. So that's really what this is all about, I think, in a musical sense, is that worlds are colliding and new worlds are forming, you know.
You guys recently changed labels. Now you're in a bigger profile label. Do you think that everything led up to the build-up of the band as it is now, and then now you think is the right moment to, you know, focus 100% on it?
Well, I've been focusing 100% on it for 20 years, so, you know, I mean, well, certainly, let's put it this way, there are times where I've needed this band more than anything else, you know, because it really is how I cope with all the tribulations and troubles and heartbreak in my life. And in doing this music, it helps to keep me relatively sane And so, you know, I think as far as what's been happening in a business sense with the band, you know, it in part has to do with the changing landscape of the industry. And, you know, for all these years, we were a do-it-yourself band. I mean, I can personally say that I've spent enough money to buy a house and several cars on the recordings of While I Haven't Wept, and I've invested everything, you know. I mean, it's cost me a lot more than money. You know, I've lost a lot of friends, a lot of girlfriends over the years, because when we're actively working on an album, it is an all-consuming thing for me, because it's very important that the emotions are very clear, and that what we end up with as a final production is what I was hearing in my head. So, you know, it was at any cost, and down to the minutia. So, as far as you know, making this change to I don't really feel that we're any different than we ever have been. I mean, I can tell you that we're just as broke as we've always been, and, you know, I mean, we're still we're not rolling around in limousines, or you know, there's no paparazzi following us. So we're still hanging out with the same people. You know, we're still tight with all the same bands we always have been, and, you know, hopefully every stride forward that we make is good for all of us that are interconnected in this scene. And I mean, really, you know, the fact is that now that, you know, there's an entire generation that is coming from the perspective that stealing music is an okay thing to do, it's really hard to justify spending $30,000 on an album only to have someone rip it off, you know. And but I mean, at the same token, the only justification I need is, you know, the catharsis of it, because again, it's all for personal need. But you know, it's we just can't really afford to continue like that. And it probably would have been another 6 years before Fear of Infinity surfaced if we didn't have the support of Nuclear Blast. And another thing that this all resolves is the fact that for many years our albums have been very hard to find for a lot of people, and, you know, we see them going for outrageous prices on eBay. I mean, it's totally fucking insane, really. And part of this deal involves the back catalog, which I want to ensure is perpetually in print. And also, I want people that are even in the most remote areas of the world to be able to find the albums fairly easily. And obviously, no one has a reach like Nuclear Blast, you know. I mean, that's the last stop on the bus, really, you know. So, it's, and I can tell you that even back when we were doing Empires Forlorn, you know, the only label that we would ever consider signing with was, in fact, Nuclear Blast. So, we're very happy with everything so far, and we've really developed some strong relationships with the people on in both offices. So I'm hoping that we don't get dropped after Fear of Infinity. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, we did just deliver a seriously dark, intense album. You know, it's not like Vastos' Lacrimose by any means. So, you know, but it's the album that needed to be made. So we'll see, you know. Yeah, I'm sure it's shocking for people to hear after Vast Ocean's Lacrimose, but at the same time, you know, after that initial shock has passed, I think it's very clear that this is very much While Heaven Wept still, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. That was one of our main thoughts when we started listening to the promo. It's like, wait a minute. And then after a while, it kind of synced in. But yeah, it's contrasting at the first impression. And besides, you guys have some dates in Europe. You have Prog Power USA. Are there any other ideas touring the States?
Well, when we get back from Germany next week, we have an appointment to discuss arranging a deal with a prominent North American booking agency. So, you know, we're gonna see. You know what I mean? It's tough to discuss the States because, you know, in all these years, Fear of Infinity is actually the first album to have official U.S. release, you know, and we never really spent any time focusing on the States because it's a very flavor of the month situation over here, and our flavor has never been very welcome, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's like what we do is so unique that it's really hard to you know, see where we fit in with this market, but we're gonna find out, that's for sure. You know, I certainly don't have very high hopes as far as the U.S. is concerned. Just because of, you know what's popular here, man, and it's not this. So, but at the same token, there are some, I'm coming to find that there are some very strong, you know, fanatics for what we do, and I appreciate that, and I apologize if anyone feels that we've, you know, not devoted enough attention to the States, but, I mean, the truth is that from the very beginning, Europe embraced us, you know, and you know, people are shocked a lot of times to find that this music is coming from an American band, you know. Most people think it is, like, a European thing, so, but, and of course, this is due to the fact that all of our influences are, in fact, European, and even the bands that we love from the States, all of their influences were European, so it all kind of makes sense. But you know what? We're certainly not going to neglect anywhere that there's a demand, and you know, I'm sure what we need to do is make the rounds with a good package. I mean, the tour that we have with Primordial and Alcest coming up in May in Europe is, like, pretty much the most amazing billing I've seen in years, you know, because it's diverse, but yet all the bands are united by emotional aspects of the music, and I think that's something that's very interesting, you know, and much more exciting than doing something genre specific, because again, I mean, we basically are a genre of our own in a lot of ways. So yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see what happens, but I mean, certainly the reach of said booking agency is profound, and there's a lot of very well-known artists represented by this agency, and we're going to hammer it out and see what happens. So I don't really see anything happening in 2011 beyond Prog Power, but that in and of itself is a very big thing, you know, certainly for us in the States, and it couldn't be a more ideal forum, even though, you know, I'm sure that our inclusion raised some eyebrows, but it does in fact make sense, you know, because for those people that have always considered us to be an epic doom band or something like this, if that's what we are, you know, then we've certainly been pushing the boundaries, you know, at every opportunity, and you know, and it really just boggles my mind that we can have, like, blast beats on our album and it's still a doom metal album, but whatever, you know, what do I know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it is true. But yeah, I mean, the kind of neglect in the States, it was something that we were kind of thinking about since, I mean, we've been fans of the band for over 15 years, and the first time we were going to get the opportunity to see you guys live was in Europe, so it's like, okay, that's not good.
Well, you know, what it does come down to is there's a very different thing going on over there, you know, and I mean, I'm not even really sure exactly like where we are standing currently, because it's been about a year since we spent some good time there, and I mean, despite having been in Greece, but that's like kind of an entity onto itself. But I have to say that, I mean, what a fucking audience, you know what I mean? That was Up the Hammers. Like, let's put it this way: if anyone wants to travel and go to an amazing festival, Up the Hammers is it. I mean, that audience, I mean, we were literally like blasting on stage, you know, the amps were cranked all the way, and they still sang the songs louder than we could play them, and it was one of the most amazing things I've ever experienced, and it is the most metal city in the world, for sure. There's so many metal bars and clubs and record stores, you know, I mean, even cafes, man. I mean, you roll in and to get a coffee, and they're blasting like Creator, you know what I mean? So, and then the next moment, Crimson Glory. So, it's heaven for me, you know what I mean? So it's hard to come back here where there's no metal bars and no metal clubs. I mean, like, you don't see this stuff in the States. I mean, all right, you know, you got a Duff's in New York or something like that, and maybe a couple other things scattered around, but I mean, basically, where I live in Washington, D.C., there's nothing. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely nothing. And, you know, there's this whole pay-to-play thing in a lot of clubs, and just, I mean, look, we've been around the States and the other bands, you know, and I can tell you that the experiences were pretty humbling, and definitely, you know, there was nothing glamorous about any of those tours, you know. So, yeah, you know, I'm not going to write it off, though. There's always a possibility that, you know, we'll do something cool, but, I mean, you know, look at bands like Therion, you know, they'll never tour here again, you know. So, I mean, if that's any indication, you know, the prospects are probably a bit grim, but you know what, we need to do at least one run, that's for sure. It's like we need to hit the West Coast. There's some key cities where there are a lot of friends that we need to visit, and we'll do this, you know. But I mean, look, if you pay close attention to what the trends are right now, though, in the industry, look at all the activity in South America, you know. They're fiending for music down there, you know what I mean? And so that's something on our radar for sure, too.
And, you know, I mean, so kind of to summarize everything, so you guys, I mean, the album comes out, you're in the label, you're going to do some dates in Europe. What else is in the future for the band, let's say, for 2012?
We're definitely going to be doing some more touring, you know. I'm absolutely not ready to hit the studio again yet, because I mean, literally, this is like 3 albums in a row, and I'm the guy that was there like every single day that we were in the studio working insane hours. So, you know, while we could do another album next year, I think I need a break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we've been going nonstop since 2009, and you know, I think what we will be focusing on are more shows for sure. And I know we're going to go back to Europe, because there's like several countries that are being neglected on this short primordial tour, and we really want to, you know, reach out to everybody there. And, you know, from the way it sounds, and it looks like we're going to be doing something in North America. I just don't know what it is just yet, but I mean, for sure, we're probably looking at some kind of a tour, or at least some events that are significant, where there's a chance to get out to places that we haven't been before. And beyond that, you know, we're just going to be rehearsing for the next album and see where things go, you know. Your guess is as good as mine, bro.
And just to kind of closing remarks, is there anything you want to say to the people in North America and Europe that are going to be listening to this interview?
Man, thank you to everybody that has supported us all these years. Thank you and Infernal Masquerade for this opportunity. You know, this is very much appreciated. You know, it's always been important to me to reach out and directly interact with our friends and fans and brothers and sisters all over the world. And so every opportunity means the world. And yeah, we hope to see you all out on the road. And, you know, beyond this, I know Fear of Infinity is a bit of a shock, but if you understand that it is this process of, you know, bereavement, and approach it from that perspective and give it a few listens, I think it'll make a lot more sense. And, you know, thanks to everybody that will give it a shot. You know, we appreciate it. You know, we know it's not for everybody, and that's cool, but beyond that, you know, it's all rock and roll, right?